there. This is Seth Warris from Channel 9. We're here at that conference on the stage with the fires and everything going. I'm here with the venerable Bill Wagner. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Seth. Did you notice the spider back there?
Ah!
Yeah, well, you know, I just had to point that out.
Oh,
right
my
at the
goodness.
Beginning. Now that you're relaxed.
I gave like a shriek there.
That was
going
pretty
on.
Good.
So you're here at that conference.
Right.
But I was thinking maybe we could talk a little about C-Sharp 6.
Absolutely. So I was here at that conference. We're working with my talk here was on Link. You know, giving some of these newer developers some of these tools that we're used to for quite some time. And a lot of the other things that I'm doing in other areas and what I've been talking with developers in the hallways and such is all the wonderful things we can get in C-Sharp 6.
Yeah, and it's already out.
It's already out.
It's been a couple of weeks since it's come out. What should we look for in C-Sharp 6?
What should we look for in C-Sharp 6? What I really like on it is there's a lot of small fit and finish features that came out in this release. You know, in C-Sharp 5, you know, we got async and await and a few little features. And async and await was just this big change in how we handled async programming.
Right.
And, you know, C-Sharp 4, we had dynamic and all of the infrastructure that went around that. You know, C-Sharp 3 was link, which I was talking about here. C-Sharp 2 was generics, you know, all the way back to C-Sharp 1, which is, you know, all the stuff.
Did you write a book on this stuff? I mean, it's like just
we've got
coming
a couple.
Out.
Yeah,
I know.
So,
just kidding, this dude, man.
There's effective C-sharp and more effective C-sharp, which collectively have 100 tips and tricks on good practices in C-sharp.
Right.
And I'm currently talking to my editors about what we're going to do next to incorporate some of the C-sharp 6 features into that guidance, into some new guidance on using the new features. Haven't figured out exactly what form that's going to take, but we're working through that now.
Awesome.
But in C-sharp 6, now the compiler is written in C-sharp.
Okay. Yeah, Roslyn is the new thing.
Roslyn is the new thing. So it's a really hard language problem to write a compiler for a language that you've just defined that doesn't have a compiler yet.
It's literally pulling yourself up from your bootstraps.
Now, the F-Sharp team did that. You know, Don Syme has some really, really good talks talking about that process of writing this F-Sharp compiler that started from nothing and as he added features was able to do it. C-Sharp started by writing the original version was in C++. And that code gets to be, you know, think of the way we wrote code and the way we managed development in 1999, 1998, compared to what we do now.
Yeah.
And compared to the languages we have now. You know, in many ways, the C-sharp team can now take use of all the things we as .NET developers take for granted in the CLR and memory management and all of those features to write a compiler for their own language.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave them a restart, a new structure to the code, a new structure to the way things were set up, a chance to introduce all these APIs that we can use that Visual Studio is using the same set of APIs.
Right.
So now when you get the syntax coloring inside Visual Studio, that's being done by the same code that runs the compiler.
Interesting.
Right? Previously, there was one set of code that interpreted C-sharp for Visual Studio to give you the IDE experience, and another set of code that produce an exe. And now those APIs are open and the same code Visual Studio uses to analyze your code as you're typing, you know, and give you the squiggles and give you the guidance and the IntelliSense. That's the same code that's used to run the compile and produce the IL. So a little bit less memory pressure there for developers working with Visual Studio and a better experience. It's more consistent. It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And third-party developers can now hook into that same experience.
Right.
You know, we're going to get new versions from ReSharper and CodeRush that are based on those same APIs.
Wow.
Also, the community can do that. Right? There's some open source projects. CodeCracker is one. .NET Analyzers is another that a set of MVPs have put together to write analyzers that can look at your code and in some cases do style cop-like things, FX cop-like things, and so on.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a language feature, but not. It's like
right.
Below the language, and where you can start to do some really interesting
and
things.
And one of the things that the team is really excited about enabling is you can install those analyzers as a NuGet package. Okay, so like right now, okay, if you install an extension that's installed in your copy of Visual Studio, no matter what code base you're working on.
Right.
So now if I can install this analyzer as a NuGet package, you know, let's say I've
Everyone
got,
has it.
Well, but even better, it can come along with a library of code, right?
Wow, yeah.
So let's say I write an awesome library to do something around, say, Azure Machine Learning, for instance, just as an example.
Okay.
And I've got this great NuGet package that works above the core Azure Machine Learning and gives me a new API. In addition to that, I can write an analyzer that helps to show developers how to use this library I built that's specific to my library, right?
That's built in.
It's built in.
As a dependency.
So now, you know, instead of documentation or to augment your wiki or to augment some of these other things, you can have this experience where they just get squiggles if they start making mistakes.
So that's interesting. So now you can have like your own, say you have your own open source library, you can include a NuGet package to teach people how to use it via squiggles or code analyzers.
Right, so that's one of the things that, you know, there aren't a lot of them yet, but that's one of the things that now that it's released and now that more people can use it, that the team really wants to encourage package authors to do.
That's awesome.
Right? So that's really cool. And then we get all these just new language features and things. One of the biggest ones that I like a lot is there's this new feature for string interpolation.
I've seen it.
And you've seen this where, you know, if you think of what we've done previously, we had the string.format API. And let's be honest, it's really close to what we had in C with printf and sprintf and APIs that were designed in the 50s, mm-hmm. right? Really, really old stuff. And you look at the new version now with, you know, dollar sign quotes, and I can put expressions to be replaced inside
it's
my...
It's like Mad Libs for C#. I read a tweet.
It's
I
wonderful.
Didn't make that
up. Yeah. But what I really like is now you've got this thing in here that is really easy to read, you know, instead of, you know, curly brace 0, curly brace 1, curly brace 2, and then how many parameters do I put after it? You just put the expression of what variables you want in there. You can't make some of the mistakes that we would often see, you know. Right. Array mismatch doesn't have the right number of argument elements in format specifier. You know, this very bizarre, not bizarre, once you knew it, you could see what was wrong. But to beginning programmers, very, very hard to diagnose issue. So that's one of the ones I really like.
It's called string interpolation.
String interpolation.
And you can put an expression in there, not just variables.
Right. You can, you know, call code. You can have a lambda expression. You can have property accessors. You know, any valid C# in the form of an expression is there.
That's
right.
Awesome.
So you can't write a whole routine and have several lines in there, but you can have any expression that returns some value that can then, you know, we can call toString on and put something in there. So that's probably one of my favorites. Another one that just really helps clean up code is there's a name of expression. Mm-hmm. You know, so you think of a lot of the APIs that we work with, and we have what I've referred to as stringly typed APIs, right? You know, iNotify property changes is an example any XAML developer is familiar with. You know, you raise this event, and one of the parameters to the event is the name of the property as a string. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I refactor the name of the property, it doesn't find that string because that's just text. You know, all these kinds of different issues that show up, right? And now I can use name of, and I give it the property name, and the compiler replaces that with a string. So now if I do a refactor, well, that symbol changes inside the name of operator, and that symbol gets replaced with the text. So now if I do a refactoring, it's going to change the symbol, and the compiler will then generate the new text.
This is especially useful when you're doing, for example, when you're throwing an exception.
Throwing an exception, it's an argument exception, so you need the name of the argument as one of the parameters to the constructor for the argument exception.
Right.
Exactly, or argument null exception, yes, absolutely.
And this is like an interesting thing because, I mean, say you have you shouldn't have long methods, but FYI, but say you have a long method because you did it wrong like me, and you change the name of a variable. Previously, you'd have to go in through the exception and change the string.
Change all it.
But
yeah.
Now with name of, since it's referencing the symbol and you're doing a edit, replace all kind of thing, it's just going to sort of work.
Well, if you do an edit, replace all, that does text. So you would replace the strings. And you'd replace the comments and you would replace the partial names and other things. But if you do a refactoring and change symbol name, and I wanted to correct you just to really get that to our viewers, right? Because the idea of this refactoring is it's doing an analysis of the symbols in your code. Mm-hmm. You know, it's understanding the language. It's not just text, right? So we get that feature.
Awesome distinction.
The other one that's the one I use the most is this idea that, and they're related, of auto-implemented properties with read-only auto-implemented properties, right? So right now, if I have in C# 5 or earlier, you could write an auto-implemented property, you know, like inside a person, you could have first name and just get set. Okay. If I wanted to make that read-only, the best I could do from a language standpoint is do get and then say private set. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not really read-only, right? No. Anything inside that object could still change that variable.
Yeah.
Well, now what they've done is now I can just say, you know, public string first name and just in the brackets just put get. Okay. And what the compiler generates is a backing field. And it allows you to say, you know, this dot first name equals something, but only inside a constructor.
Interesting.
And it'll actually write to and initialize the backing field. Okay.
I see. So it's compile time checking of read-only properties that are
auto-implemented.
Yeah, that where the instances are generated during construction.
Exactly. And previously, if we really wanted that behavior and you wanted a true read-only backing field, you would have to not use auto-implemented properties and type all that extra code to type your own backing field, use your own backing field, make sure they're different, you know, different names or different tax symbols, and go through all that work. And now we can just use this very concise syntax to get that.
Cool.
A related feature uses what's called expression-bodied members. Mm-hmm. You know, so an example would be if I have a person and I have a first name and a last name, I might have a property called name or display name where I just concatenate the first name and the last name with a space between them. Well, that's a simple one-line method. So I might just have a property and say, you know, name, and I say get, and then you know, with the angle or curly braces around it. And then I would have a lambda arrow and I would just have the expression of, you know, first name, space, last name, or a formatted string.
Right.
And just do it that way. Right, rather than all those.
Yeah, you'd have to write extra curly braces,
and
get,
return.
And do return.
Yeah, so it really brings some of these kinds of classes we're writing now, especially in web programming, where we're passing data back and forth between different machines, mm-hmm. and makes the code for those really, really concise and really easy to read.
That's awesome.
You know, there's a wealth of other features in there, expression filtering, associative collection initializers. There's await in finally in catch clauses, and I'm sure I'm missing at least two of them right now.
Right.
But overall, it's a lot of things that just makes programming more fun, right? We less typing, more solving problems and getting stuff to work.
It's cool to be more concise too in your code.
Right.
If you're ever writing stuff and you feel this feels like a lot to just do a little.
Right. Right.
It feels like C# has sort of taken a little bit of that away.
Right. And I like the way they've done it because it's still very, very readable.
Right.
Right. It's not all these symbols and you're looking at it trying to wonder, what does this concise bit of stuff do? It's still very readable and it's very clear. So I really like the direction of it.
Well, that's so cool. Thanks for spending some time with us on it.
Hey, thank you. I love talking about this stuff.
I think it's
exciting to see what we're doing in .NET. And last thing is Roslyn's open source. If you want to explore and play with the compiler, you know, it's on GitHub. Just search for Roslyn in GitHub and it'll take you right to the home page.
Fantastic.
There's issues you can grab if you want to try to fix the compiler yourself.
See, that's crazy that now you can actually go and say, I want to fix the compiler.
I want to do this, yeah. Go ahead, build it and see what you can do.
Well, cool. Well, we look forward more to what you're coming out with next on
C#6.
Thanks for watching. And we're here with Bill Wagner at that conference. Thanks for watching and we'll see you next time. Take care.